Some people wonder why I have a lot of bombs and medicine. Just because this place is in the middle of a forest, there are so many bugs and insects. So these little bugs no longer exist in the city. They cannot stand the pollution in the city. This is true. It's a very good indicator how polluted the environment is. Many kinds of animal cannot live in the city in Bangkok. They cannot survive. Some animals are very good at adapting. For example, some little birds, pigeons, they're okay. Seagulls, they're very good. They used to hold on to the cables. I'm not sure whether they're still there anymore. You guys always say that you're the students of mine, and you have to have some behavior that's similar to me. I try to be mindful, had a stable observer. Since I was still a layman, it's not all the time. Sometimes my mind wanders off, but it's temporarily, not too long. But not the whole day you allow yourself to just flow with the defilements, and then used to say that you're my student, and that's not my true student. You're just claiming you're a student. When you say you are a student of some teacher or master, that means you're gonna follow the path, follow the route that the master has shown you. When you respect a master that belong to some school, then if you want to belong to that school, unless you take some behaviors that follow my path, my route, and get lost in the world, don't claim that you're my student. People who can see and hear you would just not believe that you are my student. Try to be mindful, try to understand and attain the knowledge that I have attained. Many people always ask for my blessing, want to understand, want to attain the knowledge, the enlightenment that I have seen. So I always tell them that you have to follow my path. You have to do the givings. You have to maintain your precepts always, constantly. Practice some meditation, and then you have to cultivate your wisdom. You have to be aware of any things that come to be in touch with your senses. Then over time you will understand and attain the knowledge and enlightenment the way I understand. Nowadays it's really hard to find people who understand what I do. Many people don't practice the way I try. Your precept, your meditation, your concentration, and your wisdom are very weak. The other day, I went off to see another master. After Longpa left, he told his students that he understands what Longpa understands, and Longpa understands him. But unless you start practicing, you will never understand it. In the past few years, I haven't met new monks that actually understand and can communicate what we understand, and we can understand each other. It's only this Wongpu Bunsom is the first one since the passings of many, many old masters. So you have to practice unless you really put in an effort and you're asking for blessing. Do the offerings and set the intention. But you not practice, then you will not understand. However, when you ask for that blessing, I will always respond that whatever that I have already done, the Dhamma that I have attained through my effort, I hope that you put in the same effort. So if you practice the right way, you understand the truth of your mind and your body. For the precepts, for the five precepts, have you had the intention to maintain it, to make it as pure as possible? Just these five precepts, you don't need more than this. So how do I have the concentration, the samadhi? There are two kinds of samadhi. One is for resting, another kind is for cultivating your wisdom. The type of meditation that you could do for resting, then it will be resting, focusing in one object. It doesn't wander off, so you get to rest, you feel happy, and you feel peace, at peace and calm. So that's one kind of samadhi. But that one object that you use for your samadhi has to be the kind that doesn't violate any of the precepts. For example, playing cards or gambling. Yes, you do have some sort of samadhi, but it's belonging from the outside and it's immoral. So you have to pick an object that is does not violate any of the precepts. So there are many kinds of objects that you can choose from. I do not recommend Basim. It's about focusing on something external. It's like a spiritual mental practice. It's not something I encourage that you do. For example, if you're focusing on fire, fire is outside your body. It's not inside your mind or your body. So you're not going to learn and cultivate your wisdom from understanding your body and mind. So what are the good mental objects that you could choose from among the 40 kinds? 10 gasin. I do not recommend you to choose 10 kinds. So there are many kinds of gasin. For example, there are colors, gasin, fire, water, wind, emptiness. It's about focusing on something outside, concentrating on an object outside. Come back to your body, pick an object that inside your body and mind. When you go down the gasin route, even though it's a okay object, it will delay you. It will delay your progress. I used to try it once when I was young. So I practiced meditation on my breathing, and then I started to focus on the flow of the wind of the air. You could feel that the air blowing in. So then the air blowing in through my nose and out through my nose, when it touches the tip of my nose, is also a part of the flow of the air. So when you focus on gasin, something as an external object long enough, you start to get to achieve some brightness. And then when you have this brightness, you can play around with this light. You can make it big, expand, and you can focus it into small object, as small as a needle. Or you can expand it as big as like a sun or moon. You can make it big or small, and it's powerful. When then your mind stays and submerging into this kind of limit, and you feel the joy, you feel the happiness, and you don't wander off, then you state the first jhana. So when you do gassen, you can actually get a shiv jhana from doing gassen. You can waste a lot of time doing this. If you have enough, background that you can cultivate wisdom from this, then you will not just focusing on this light, it will come back to your body and mind. And then you will have come back to your own body and mind, and this mind would be a stable observer where you can see your body and mind. And that's when you can start to achieve more wisdom from it. For example, when you can see your body rocking, or sometimes you feel your body is light, sometimes you feel your body is so big, very heavy, very tight. When you can observe it, something that you can see that it's like something that is some phenomena that you can observe, but it's just something that is burdensome to the mind. When your samadhi and your wisdom get stronger, that the happiness that occur, the joy that occur inside the meditation, then you would even let go of this happiness. And then your sati would get even stronger. And then you start to become equanimous to all this happiness that happened during your meditation. When you continue further, you will start to see the three characteristics. The first thing, you can use both samadhi and the wisdom together and then observe. Or you can pull yourself out of the meditation, of the jhana, and then you cultivate wisdom after you pull yourself out of the meditation. So when you go down the jhana route, then you can achieve jhana and then start to cultivate the wisdom, or you can use the jhana that you achieve and come back to the world, and you will have the state observer and understand and cultivate wisdom there. When you achieve the fourth jhana, it's actually there is the level that can actually deter you from achieving higher wisdom, which is because it's the happiness. When you're happy, you're not being equanimous to this happiness, and then you're not going to be able to observe. So for the third level of jhana is the joy that happens during the third jhana that deters you from understanding the truth. So the first jhana, the biggest deterrence is the noise. So actually, many people ask me, when you have achieved first jhana, if your mind still being touched by the noise, by the sound, by the touch, by the feelings, that means you haven't achieved the first jhana. When you're in the first jhana, the noises are still your deterrence. See, I'm trying to explain and elaborate this to you. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to. That's the path that you don't have to. Jhana is not the route for people who look like you. It's really hard to achieve. So just use this momentary concentration, this momentary samadhi. That's very good. So come back. So be mindful. Think about the Buddha. Think about Dhamma. Think about Sangha. Think about whatever goods and good deeds that you've done in the past. Think about angels. Think about the morals. the kindness that belongs to the angels. Think about all the good things, the good moral, the role model, the example that the angels have done in the past. So the last few days, the 14th is the Valentine's Day, the 15th was the Chinese New Year, and the 16th was the day that the lotto came out. So then those are your minds are scattered all the time. Come back, think about the Buddha, think about the kindness, the generosity that the Buddha had devoted for us. So thinking about the Buddha means thinking about the dedication, the good deeds, the wisdom, the knowledge that they have arrived. Or you can think about death. Sometimes when you have a very strong defilement, for example, you're very angry at someone, or when you suffer so much, your house just burned down, but you still survived. You can think about death. You can ponder death. And then imagine that, oh, so imagine had you burned along with your belongings, then it would be even worse. So even though you've lost everything, all your belongings, you're still alive. So you can think about death, that at the end of the day, we're all dead anyway. So any strong attachments, any strong sufferings would get alleviated. Or you could be mindful of your breathing. That's another good object I could use. Breathing in, breathing out, and you are aware. It's very good. Another kind is just to be mindful of your body. So separate out hair, skin, nails, teeth, skin. These are belonging to the Mangsa state, upcountry, outside of the city. These are the popular. This is the popular one by separating your body out into different parts. Pra Anon was practicing her the night before they were cleaning the Tripitaka, the scripture. And he was practicing really hard the night before they were, all the monks were getting together during the, after the Buddha's time to put together the scripture. So this is a practice that Pra Anon did at that time to see the separation of different parts of your body. And then the wisdom will start to grow. But if you're actually still thinking, then it's different. But if your mind is actually starting to see the truth about this itself, then that is the wisdom is growing. So observe yourself. What object that you use, and you feel happy, you feel comfortable. For me, it's very clear breathing is a very good object for me because I feel happy when I stay with my breathing. Most of the masters either use the breathing on the different parts of their body as a way to practice as an object. Then when you're happy, your mind doesn't want to wander off, and then you get the peace, the calmness, the quietness. And try to pick an object that is very good for cultivating wisdom. If you want to do meditation such that your mind becomes awake, become mindful, become lively, then you can pick something that would allow you. For example, as I mentioned, using the body parts. If you see the body, you see the hair, you see the skin, you see the nails, and if you see that the mind wanders off to this body and stray away from, wanders away from this, then you become aware again. The stable observer, which is a momentary samadhi, is not different from the mind that is achieving the second jhana, but it's only momentarily, but it's the same kind. The difference is only when you have done it through achieving the second jhana, this stable observer would be more durable. It will last longer. But however long it lasts, it will never last longer than 7 days. However, you can achieve a lot of momentary stable observer, and you can have this multiple times a day. Has to be more frequent than 3-4 times a day. There are many people who become awake and not become mindful at all throughout the whole day. Are you like that? So, can you become mindful once a day, then you become very happy, very glad that you can do this. But then, okay, a little longer, then you become mindful twice a day, then 4 times, 8 times each day, you become very happy. And then another day comes, you don't become mindful at all, and then you become hurtful. Just continue doing this. Keep doing this. Oh, today is 32 times and you feel very happy. Until you become mindful and aware very frequently. When you move around, you can feel it. Whenever the body moves and your mind becomes mindful. Keep practicing until it's constantly mindful of your mind and body unintentionally. Automatic mindfulness. If you're still having to have the intention, then it's not good enough. You will never attain nirvana until you can have the automatic mindfulness. You have to lose the intention. As long as you have the intention, you will never achieve it. There is a very delicate kind of intention. The delicate intention to understand the minds and the matters. In order to start to cultivate wisdom, there's still an intention, but it's a very delicate intention. You yourself do not have any more intention at that level. However, the mind will still have the intention to go and observe and understand the three characteristics. So there's a difference there. So any defilements that still control your mind at the time, finally when the wisdom is there, all the defilements that still consume your mind would be destroyed completely. I tell you, one day you understand this, one day in the future, just keep practicing. See, your mind wanders off, can you see this? When your body moves, then you see your mind wanders off. When you're very familiar with the status that your mind is lost, then you become very familiar with it, and it could happen again. You will have a lot of momentary stable observers. It sounds really difficult. It seems difficult from someone who never been mindful of yourself. To be mindful of who you are is very hard. But when you start to be able to have automatic stable observer and start to see yourself, then it's actually going to become easy. When it's become automatic, you just observe the mind doing the work. You just see the mind that it actually become mindful, it has samadhi, and it's starting to see the wisdom, to see the characteristics. So many masters say that actually attaining nirvana is actually not hard. The only hard part is to make it automatic. Once it becomes automatic, then it's easy. Because it's actually automatic. We used to getting lost, getting to having the mind wander off. However, when you have this new habit of the mind that you are mindful automatically all the time, then you're already in the path and it becomes easy. Giving, there are many kind of givings. You don't have to give any object, it doesn't require money. For example, forgiveness is a kind of giving. It's actually higher than any givings that you do with the object. Or there is also another kind that is the highest, is the giving the Dhamma to other people. When you actually do the printing of Dhamma books and give to other people, is this considered tamatan, as in giving Dhamma to others? No, it's not. It's just still giving the object because you yourself haven't achieved Dhamma to be able to share and give it to others. Then once you could do the giving, then you have to maintain the precepts. Maintain the precepts. You have to first have the intention to be mindful, to hold the five precepts closer to heart, and then your mindfulness will become mindful of the defilements that drive you to violate the precepts. When the defilement arises that you want to violate it, your mindfulness also arises. Then you don't have to maintain the precepts anymore, because your sati would actually be the one that control your actions and your words, not to violate any precepts automatically. So then there's giving, there's the precepts, and then there's samadhi, trying to find an object such that you would stay with it, so then you can become mindful of your body and mind. But if you want the peace and the resting, then find one object and stay with that object for the resting. Otherwise, just be mindful of that one object that you chose, and then use it to be mindful that when your mind wanders off, so okay, one more time. When you want the samadhi that gives you the rest, have your mind stay with one object constantly and you get the rest, you get the peace. The other kind of samadhi that you want for growing, cultivating your wisdom is to pick one object that would allow you to see the movements that you will see the changes of your body and mind. So try to observe how your mind moves. And if you're too tired to observe your mind, then observe your body. And if you cannot observe your body, try to practice samadhi such that it gives you to rest. Just do samatha samadhi, which is the kind of having your mind staying with one object. But the best kind of samadhi, of course, is the kind that you can grow and cultivate your wisdom, seeing the changes in your body and mind. What kind is good to achieve? What I told you, it's good if you could achieve. However much you can achieve, that's how you have to be content with it. If you're not very good with samadhi, then you have to practice and you have to be very patient. Just keep doing it. Your defilements is there and your faculties are not strong. So you have to keep slowly growing everything. I'll give you one Dhamma. Something I said so many times. So, if you can observe your mind, then observe your mind changes. If you cannot, then observe your body changes. If not, then you just can do the concentration meditation. And then the rest, you just have to just be patient. If you are not patient, then there's no room for you, because if you cannot be patient, then it means you are not going forward. So if you never quiet down or become peaceful or calm down when you practice samadhi, then why? Why do you want to become calm? Because your defilements is being greedy, wanting to be calm, wanting to be peaceful. Instead, just be mindful of this greed, and then you actually might become calm. Just because if you do it for the sake of doing it, not wanting and not having the greed of wanting to be calm, you're actually going to become calm and peaceful. But it requires the wisdom. When you don't have much wisdom, you have to use the effort, you have to use the persistence in order to achieve it. Today it's hard, it's going to be easier in the future. If it's easy today, in the future it will be hard. It will be even harder because you become used to doing bad things, non-disciplined. You have to keep doing this? Okay. Any questions? Time to submit the homework. I still feel that I have very bad samadhi. It moves around all the time. It's actually good that you're actually observing your mind is wandering off. When you see it frequently, it's very good. Just when it moves, when it wanders off, and you become mindful of it again and again and again in the future, that you start to have wisdom, that you're going to see that the wanders off cannot be controlled. And the mindfulness is not even in your control. The more you see it, and you see everything is not under control. But I still feel that I'm still very greedy. It doesn't allow myself to let go. I'm still greedy. So you have to keep observing your body. You have to see until that it's all sufferings, and then you will let go. Unless you see that these are all sufferings, and you will let go. Unless you see the sufferings, you will never see the Dhamma. You have to see that the impermanence, you have the non-self part of it, you see its sufferings, then they will just let go. Just keep practicing. So when I practice, I know that I start to think, my mind wanders off to the thoughts, and then I'll pull it back. So when your mind wanders off, that's one mind. Don't pull it back. That's just a different occurrence of the mind. That one moment you were lost, it's another moment you become mindful, and then another moment it becomes empty. But if it's a dull kind of emptiness, that means you're actually already suppressing it. So the newcomers are usually experiencing this problem. They'll be see the mind wanders off, and you become mindful, and you start to overfocus. So these three steps are the common mistakes of the newcomers. So I'm practicing two kinds of samadhi. So you know one thing, that your mind likes to wander off. I'm going to practice, and I have to think about this, I have to practice this kind, that kind. Thinking too much, it's blah blah blah. Just know that your mind is actually scattered. You want too much, you want greedy, your mind just likes to think. The defilements usually given to the people, surrender to the people who are actually truly mindful of your true self. I have a very scattered mind, and I get angry very easily. I get angry often. So just be mindful of it. The anger is easier to observe. The moment when you feel angry or suffocating, you're just gonna see that it's good. So it's good for me to be very good to just observe my anger and mine. And Longpo said that it's actually you're not giving up your body, so be mindful of your body too. Okay, tell her that she's feeling excited, so she has to be mindful of her excitement and mind somewhere else, and you have to understand. When you actually feel excited, you have to be mindful that you're excited. Now can you see that it's kind of shrunken down a little? The excitement has come down a little. When your mind runs out to me, you can see. When your mind comes back to your body and mind and become mindful. This number 3, just keep practicing. Okay, next, number 18. I haven't submitted any homework for a long time already. In the past, I'm very stuck with the over-focusing and try to control the mind. When you already know of your problem, you're not going to be over-focused. But when you cannot change it, then you have to see that you're happy or you're unhappy about your mental state. If you're still over-focusing, instead of observing the over-focusing, see how you're happy or unhappy about the status of being focused. Don't try to fix it. Just see whether you like it or you don't like it. Even though you're over-focusing at that moment and you're very unhappy about it, and then this is the key that you can observe. It will shorten the time for your practice. And my samadhi is still very weak, the way Longpo suggests. I told you, there is nothing you can do about it. The only thing that you can put in is your patience. Just practice in order to honor the Buddha. Anything else? So I just have to be patient? Yes, you have to be patient and be mindful whether you like or you don't like any state that you observe or you're mindful of. When you practice and you become mindful, you will start to see, you start to judge what you have just observed or you're mindful of. So it's either I control it or I try to over-focus on something. When you're starting to control and you don't like the fact that you're controlling, then be mindful that you don't like that you're controlling. Be mindful of something that just happened. Okay, number 10. I've been trying to practice the way you teach for a while. I believe I have improved. I start to see results. I see a lot of defilements. I believe that my mind improved. My life is better. I'm just afraid that it's all my imagination. Can you see one kind of defilement? Your strong over self-confidence is a very strong defilement for you. Is this the same kind of conceit? Yes, is this the same kind of as conceit? You have a very strong defilement in this part. But you have improved a lot already. Number 24. It's in front. My carrier is selling pesticides and alcohol. Would this interfere with my practice? You can still practice good life after death, it's okay. But if you want to attain nirvana, then you have to change a carrier. But if you still have to do it, you have to be mindful that you're doing that it's wrong. When you do something that is wrong and mindful that it's wrong, then at least you feel that it's not right. You are aware. You have the guilt. You are aware of what's right and wrong. The karma from doing the wrong thing, while you know you are aware of the right and wrong, you can tell apart. The karma from it is a lot better. And then you have put the mind in the right thing. Don't think about it as a pesticide. Think about it as not for killing insects. It's actually for help maintaining the trees, the plants to be healthy. However, I cannot help you on the selling alcohol part. From what I've done so far, practiced so far, is it good? But if you want to attain nirvana, you will have to change your career. When you sell alcohol, it actually ruins or deters other people's mindfulness, other people's state. So when you practice, when your mind is starting to get concentrate, and then your mind will start to scatter off. That's part of the karma for selling alcohol, which ruins other people's sati. In my life, I've had alcohol twice. One, the first time was when I was in school. The seniors tried to force me to drink it. I knew that it wasn't good and I still drank it. People are confused. When you know that it's wrong and you still do it, it should be bad. But from the Dharma perspective, because you're not having the misconception about what's right and wrong, and still know that you're actually doing the wrong thing at that moment. But when you have the delusion, not knowing, cannot tell between right and wrong, and committing that crime, then actually it's a worse kind of crime or bad karma that you have committed. So at least be mindful of what's right and wrong when you have to do something wrong. So there's a monk who got ordained. Before he became a monk, he was selling alcohol too. But now he got ordained. He doesn't drink and he doesn't sell alcohol anymore. But then he could practice because he said the guy who sold alcohol had already died. So you sell alcohol every day? Yes, I do it every day. Just don't think about it that way. So 8 hours a day that you sell alcohol, but the other 16 hours you're not selling alcohol, and try to practice. Okay, number 16. Can you feel that you're actually starting to get dull, starting to get a little quiet? And starting to feel drowsy, can you feel it? I still don't have very good samadhi at the moment. I still try to be patient and try to be mindful. Sometimes it's frequent, sometimes it's very far. A lot of times I feel like I'm very stuck and sunken into the mind. So when you feel like you've sunken into it, don't try to pull it back. You cannot pull it back. When your mind has sunken into something and you feel like you don't like it, just observe that you don't like it, the dislike. Sometime when you practice, you start to see some phenomena and you feel like you cannot understand and you feel confused. Just be mindful of the confusion of the puzzle that you have in your mind. When you observe something, you like it and you don't, or you don't like it, just be mindful whether you like it or you don't like it. The like or the dislike of your mind. You don't have to know what that phenomena that arises in your mind is. So don't worry about what you encounter or you have observed that you don't know about. You don't have to understand everything. Just be mindful of your judgment. Don't worry, you can keep the practice of the samadhi. Whether you're going to become calm or not, it doesn't matter, just keep at it. But don't practice without having your wisdom, wanting to be calm. You don't like the scattered mind and you dislike that. And you have that greed, just be mindful of that greed. If you want to be good, just be mindful that you want to be good. And then you get annoyed that you're not good because you cannot control it. Just be mindful. Be mindful with the like and the dislike of the mental phenomena that your mind has observed. I listened to your teaching from YouTube. This is the first time for me. Have you noticed that you have changed? Your mind is getting into the path, the right path. Can you see the fact aggregate separating? You have walked quite far already when you see the fact aggregate separating. Because you're having the right kind of samadhi, you have the right kind of stable observer. So keep practicing, be mindful. See the changes in your body and mind. Just keep observing, and then your wisdom would start to grow. You have already come a long way. It's just a matter of growing wisdom. I think I'm very used to feeling stuck to the samadhi. So my mantra is Vimamsa. So when you start observing strange phenomena in my body, in my heart, the way you deal with it, when you wonder, when you have to see, just come back to your mind. When you actually questioning or having a lot of questions or wondering, then this hesitation and wonders and questions is something that you still very, very blocking as an obstacle for your wisdom to grow. So if you still enjoy going places to observe this and observe that, and then you get annoyed and then you scatter and then you annoy. These are all the hindrances. These are the kinds of things that you still enjoy observing. Your mind still likes to wander and you see the annoyance. So these are all the hindrances. Because if you feel hesitant, you're not very understanding. Or sometimes you feel a little dull and drowsy. And then that's not good. You feel sluggish and that's good. Then that means the delusion has already consumed you. So the hindrances that are opposing the samadhi, the good, the right kind of samadhi, these are all these kind of hindrances. So keep practicing. Anyone else? For the rest of you who wanted to submit the homework and didn't do it, you can go to my assistance. Today we have many people. This is my second time. The first time was 6 months ago. In the past, I've been practicing continuously. I have two questions. First, when I do meditation at home, I feel excited. Like when I become mindful, I get excited. Is this an over-concentration? You don't have to worry. just, if you get excited, just know that you're excited. When you're excited, it's okay, but don't get scared. When you feel scared, it's not good, because you will pull back from the right kind of samadhi. Sometimes the mind will just keep racing, and then the mind will just get concentrated. I'm not sure whether I'm focusing. When you're over-focusing, you feel very stuff. You feel tight. You feel congested. When you're actually feeling congested, that means you're over-focusing already. When you feel really tight, that means you're over-focusing very strongly. So that's a trick to observe it. So if you're worried that you're over-focusing, just try to see the tightness. Try to feel the tightness. Okay, number two. Do I have to increase or decrease anything? Okay, you have to decrease your greed. You want to obtain results that you really want to, and then you have to let go. When you try to practice and then you want to achieve the results and you cannot achieve anything. You just have to be mindful of your mind or your body the way they are. If you're greedy, you want to achieve this and that, you would never observe things the way they are, because you're doing it just to serve your ego. Because I want to be good. It's your ego. It's going to be deterring your advance, your progress. Okay, you can go home now.